Listening Dog Media.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Jenny Powell.
It's the Hot Mess Moms Club podcast. I'm Kelly Pegg.
And I'm Jenny Powell. And we are delighted to have on our Hot Mess Moms podcast the wonderful Sarah Jane Honeywell, presenter, singer, actress, and mum of two who have presently got diarrhea and sickness, I think. So, yeah.
Oh, no. We're proud to be working with Swan this series so we can tell you about all of their stylish products, including their stunning purple retro range, which is the perfect addition to any family home. For 20% off Swan's gorgeous products, head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan, celebrating 90 years of magic moments.
It was all so glamorous, wasn't it, Sarah, till I said that?
It was, well, when you said singer, I was like, eh? I'm not saying. Well, I pretend I can, but I cannot.
Oh, I thought you could.
I'm rubbish. I mean, I did the West End.
Oh, come on, Sarah. Don't be shy. You can't come on this podcast and say, I did the West End, but I can't sing.
See, I think some of my friends who I worked with, if they heard you say singer, they'd be like that. So thank you for that. I'll take that today.
Well, I love a fun fact. And I've got a great one about Sarah Jane. I don't know if you know this, Jen, but my husband told me she's actually a contortionist.
Oh, hello. That's Andy in the bedroom, isn't it?
Yes. That's how I got a handsome man, I think, because I'm bendy. That's my thing. What's your man, Andy?
Because it's Aidan Callahan's your man, isn't he? From Emmerdale and Hollyoaks. Yeah, you did good there, didn't you, girl?
I don't know how I pulled it off. It must be the contortion. That's all I'm saying.
So how long have you guys been married?
5 years. 5 years. 5 years on the 17th of September. But we did like a little sneaky thing where we got married on the 14th, really. And then we did it in a registry office, and then we had the big day on the 17th. So we've got 2 dates.
Did you do it sort of on the quiet for a reason? You know, like the whole thing? Because some people do that. And is it for a specific reason? Or can't you tell me?
No, we can. We wanted our mate, who's hilarious, to be like the vicar person. And we were at Nunsmere Hall. And we just thought, we don't want everyone just to be like, you know, really bored and hot and hating their lives. So we got a mate of ours called Ben Gallagher, who's hilarious, to kind of wed us, if you like. But he hasn't got a license, but he was just, yeah, he was great. He really got the party started. So that's why we did it.
Yeah, that's quite cool, actually. I've got a few friends, you know, Denise Wells, she can do weddings and all that.
Oh, can she?
Yeah, she'd be great, wouldn't she? You'd never get a word in edgeways. I said to her, I mean, you know, I'd love you to do mine and Martin's wedding, Denise, but I mean, you'd just be like, well, do you take, well, anyway, when I was on Loose Women and I was doing Hollyoaks, and blah, 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 I said I wouldn't even get a chance to say yes. So she sat before she's even started.
Well, she comes on this podcast quite a bit. She talks lots and lots about vibrators and how she wishes that Jenny would buy one. So we always look forward to that conversation.
Yeah.
Perhaps you don't need to.
No, well, I'm not a contortionist, so, you know.
The only thing I really could say about doing contortion is I could put my head on my bum. So that was the good thing. And I've been a human table and I can fit in a washing machine. But I'm also only 4'11". So.
Is that the first line you said to, is that what you said to Aidan? Listen, I can fit in a washing machine. Mm-hmm.
No, it was more the time when I met him, because I had to kiss him. And I thought, oh, no, he's going to hate the fact that he's got to kiss an old lady who's like a dwarf. He's just going to hate it. So I was horrified. But, yeah, no, he was. So, I just tried to woo him with comedy.
So did you meet him at work then?
Yeah, I met him on a film, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, look at you nervously twiddling your hair. Yeah, I met him on a film. It's really lovely.
Yeah, I did. I met him on a film. And yeah, I just did not think he'd be into me at all. And he was texting me for ages. So he texted me for about a month. And I thought, because I'm older than him, I'm like 7 years older than him. I thought, oh, that's really sweet. I bet he wants some advice about a young girl. And he's, you know, he's trying to get advice from me. And then we went out for a coffee. And he'd been texting me from New York and stuff, but I just didn't put two and two together. He said, should we go out for a coffee? And I was like, yeah. And he didn't really talk much at the coffee. And I was like, oh, you're irritating me now because I've wasted my time. You're not even chatting. And then he walked me to the train station. And I punched him and went, bye, and ran off. And I got on the train and he texted me and said, I really wanted to kiss you then, but I thought you were going to knock me out. And I was like, oh, I did not see that coming. Yeah, and then I was a nightmare. Then I was like, I do want to see you. I don't want to see you. I was just a nightmare because I wanted to be a cat lady. That's the thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was almost, my dream was to be a cat lady and live in the woods on my own. So I could have lived in Wookiee's Hole. That's what I should have done. But no, and then here I am with two children, and it's the best thing I've ever done. But who'd have thought it? Not me.
And obviously, we've got to talk about the great, you know, I remember Gail Porter doing, you know, a similar as you did with that amazing campaign for animal welfare as well, you know, for that charity. You had people will recognise you from CBeebies. But, you know, let's hear the story because we love it, because also we're all smiling about it because the most positive life, you know, was to come after.
So Peter phoned me and said, will you do this thing? You can wear your bra and pants, you know, but can they be flesh coloured? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Didn't think anyone would care. Like I always think no one would care about me. And
at the point you were doing Higgledy Piggledy House and you were, you know, there you were with Justin Fletcher and all the rest of it. Yeah,
we were, and with that, it now like it's not live, so we would film it for say like 12 weeks a year, and then you wouldn't do it anymore. So then you're not really.
Well, you're done. Yeah,
and you might do Panto, and you might need the odd thing here and there, but you just kind of done. So it just didn't. Just didn't cross my mind really at all. I knew that they didn't like me being a vegan though at CBeebies. I knew that they were a bit, they thought that was too political, even though I wasn't really political about it.
It's all changed now then, hasn't it?
Exactly, now they'd be embracing it. I knew that was a bit dodgy. And I also knew me having a tattoo was a bit dodgy as well. Because when they found out I'd had a tattoo, they looked like they were going to throw up. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. This was not the reaction I thought they'd have. So I went down to Trafalgar Square. And there were a few people around. And I lay on the plate and I'd got my bra on. And I'd got my little flesh-coloured pants on. And she looked at me and she went, can you take your bra off? And I was like, what? No, I'm not showing my rabbit's noses. And she was like, no, you can put your hands over, but we'll just get so much more publicity if you take your bra off. Kind of went, okay, yeah, fine. All right, I can have my hands over then. She said, yeah. And I just thought, oh, well, that's all right then. You know what I mean? It's not my full bosoms. I'm not juggling them in people's faces. Nope. So I just thought that would be fine, but I'm so naive. And I didn't get paid for it or anything. So I also thought, you know, like if it wasn't, it wasn't gratuitous in that way that I didn't benefit from it. It was just basically to help them put a message out there that wasn't, I didn't think it was too dictatorship either. It was kind of just relate to what's on your plate and think about it. And I was like, oh, that's fine. You know, it's not saying you must not, because my kids eat me and everything. So I'm not militant about it anyway. And then I think I was on Eggheads with Pat Sharp and he went, oh my God, look at
this. Yeah.
And I was like, no. But even then, I really didn't. It was such a big deal until it was a big deal. And then
it was a big deal. For those who don't know, it was basically because Sarah Jane was on CBeebies as a presenter, all sweet and innocent. And then sweetly and innocently, and I mean that, she does, you know, she does something for a animal welfare charity where she's in Trafalgar Square lying on a plate, a huge plate with some chips and peas, and her is the, you know, instead of a piece of meat, it was her with no bra on, but her hands covering it, and she got the sack. But times are different now. You see, times are different and it won't matter now.
Is it true that with that, because you were with Mr. Tumble and my husband told me this story, and when he did, I got really annoyed and I thought, well, my kids aren't watching him anymore, because you were friends. And then with that, he sort of distanced himself, as these lovely people do in showbiz. And he just didn't speak to you, did he? Is that right?
Yeah, basically what happened was I texted him. So he'd been in the papers about Mr. Tumble in sex fumble, which is not true. It was basically just a salacious headline where he was doing Makaton, and Makaton, one of the things for Makaton, I don't know what it is because I don't know Makaton. In Makaton, it's I like you. In British Sign Language, it's I want to sex you. And they did it on the show, and he ended up in the paper. And of course, the BBC jumped straight on it, and he phoned me and he was crying, and I talked him through it. And I was like, it's going to be okay. You know, the BBC are behind you. This was nothing to do with you. You didn't, it was innocent. You listened to the experts and you did what they said. It's just the press trying to get a story. So then when this happened to me, and I don't, like, Jenny, you must have been in this position. Like, when you're in the papers and you don't mean to be, your legs actually do go from underneath you a little bit. Like, I didn't realise. And so therefore, you know that other people don't realise. My legs were shaking as I was walking. It was really bizarre. It was really, really bizarre. And I phoned him and I left a message, and I've never heard from him since. However, I do understand, because he's got a massive brand to protect, and clearly being associated with me. And to be fair, not many of them have I heard from since then. Being associated with me at that time was a really bad thing for them. And, you know, they've got to look after their own careers. And I do understand that.
Yeah. And we say this at the same time, because we're seeing stories that have unfolded in the few years, like with Ant McPartlin, who's still as he ever was, you know, after what he did, and he's still, that's, it was all just accepted and sort of almost put under the carpet, wasn't it? And what we're talking about with you is so minute. It's crazy to think that it blew up like that, and he felt the need to sort of defriend you, not be in your life anymore. I just find that really sad.
I think there's a huge thing as well, because it's, you know, it's to do with like children's back in the day as well. You just couldn't, you know, people always say to me, God, why weren't you more sex, drugs and rock and roll? And you must have done this. You must have done that. And I went, I didn't, because I was doing children's TV. And in the 80s and the 90s, and even, you know, beginning of the 2000s, you know, you couldn't do anything out. You know, there were unsaid rules or understandings, and that was it. And I was so conscious of it, and I was like, oh, can't do that, really. Oh, can't do that. I mean, and then of course, you know, I remember ending up in FHM and gosh knows what later on down the line. And I felt really uncomfortable. I thought, oh, I'm not so, you know, this is a bit edgy, this. And I mean, now you look, you know, you turn around and, you know, I'm putting all sorts out on social media. I don't care at all. And it's all, you know, it all helps with the brand, and it's all completely, it's turned upside down. In fact, I'll take my top off now. And no, but do you know what I mean?
We had women that came onto the scene, like Zoe Ball, Sarah Cox, wasn't it? They kind of brought that Ledette thing. When it started, it made it a little bit more acceptable for women in the media to roll out of a club drunk and not in a lot of clothing. I think they helped change that.
Yeah, but I think they were older kids. So I think preschool kids TV still really protected. Yeah. I don't know why, because I've got a three-year-old in there and a six-year-old, and they've seen that picture.
Yeah.
And Indiana, I'll go, who's that? And he'll go, is it Mama? And I go, it is Mama. And he's like, why has she got green balls with you? That's all he sees.
Yeah.
That's all he sees. He doesn't see why have you, you know, why you're, as he calls them, my booberries out. He's just like, what are those green balls? So, but it's very protected, kind of preschool age. Too protected, I think. Too protected.
So how was it for you afterwards? Because it's a huge thing when your career changes and it's not your decision. It's out of your hands. And it can be very difficult to kind of go through all of that. So I read that you got quite depressed. You know, it was a dark time for you when you came away from it.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, it's the best thing that happened to me. But at the time, I didn't realise that my job was my identity, and that was it. I didn't have an identity of my own. And I lost my house. So I lost my house, I lost my career. I split up with a really horribly abusive partner around that time as well. Luckily, I met Aidan, so he was like my knight in shining armor. But I really felt like I had lost my identity as a human being. And that really, it threw me off at first. Then I lost a baby as well. So then that's what made me realize that I really wanted kids. So that was another horrible but good thing to happen, because it made me go, no, this is what I want, actually. And I didn't think I did, but this is what I want. So it was a really dark time, and I was really paranoid, and I felt like people could just take anything away from me at any time. I never really had that feeling before. Obviously, you know, when you're an actor and a dancer and a presenter, nothing is forever. And you do a job here and you leave it, and you do a job there and you leave it. But when you're a presenter, I don't know if you find this, Jenny, you're a persona then, and people see that persona. So when you have no platform for that, you feel like you have nothing. I felt like I had nothing. But it is the best thing to ever happen to me. Because like you say, when you're on kids' TV, you're kind of dictated to and you're treated like a child almost. They're very patronizing, actually, to you. They're really patronizing. And I think I found my voice, because that had been shut down by doing kids TV anyway. So it was actually really depressing. But to help any people out there that feel like they are depressed and have lost their identity through COVID or whatever, just know that in just not very long, it'll be really empowering. Because you'll realise that you are strong, and that your job and your material things, they don't define you at all.
You. Yeah, because you are still that same person. And I think you're right, especially with presenters. You know, actors play a different role, etc. But presenters, you are playing you, you know. And if all of a sudden you're not doing that, you're not playing you, wherever it may be on your in your career, you know, it can be soul destroying. And that's why I think you have to always redefine yourself. You know, when it doesn't matter what job you've got, or even if you haven't at the moment, you know, and I do it with yoga, and I actually said something today about it, said, how do you feel? And it is, you've got to take yourself away from it all, and you've got to say to yourself, right, how do I feel? And how do I feel as this person? Because this is me, and this is how I feel.
Yeah,
you know, you have to recognize the fact that, you know, forget all the fluffiness and all the show business in our sense of the word. But, you know, deep down, you know, you're you, and you're a wonderful person. And you know, everyone's different, everyone's unique, and that everyone has something very special. And you just got to dig deep and find it sometimes. Sound like a guru. It's pathetic.
Yeah, it's a guru. Like, honestly, we lived in a garage. So not only did I lose all my money, but I also lost all of Aidan's money for him as well. And we lived in a garage for 4 years while Phoenix was one and Indiana was a tiny baby when we fight. Well, he was one when we moved out. And I was reading tarot cards for people on the telephone just to kind of make ends meet. But what I really found with that was talking to other people about their problems, and that's all it is. You're not really predicting the future. You're just a voice on the end of the telephone talking to somebody. And what I realised then was actually, as long as your kids and your family are okay, nothing else matters. Then it's a good day. If your family are okay, it's a good day. And that's it. That really changed everything for me. And maybe for the first time in my life, I think actually happy.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
Now, the kitchen is never usually the prettiest room in the house, but that's all changed thanks to Swan's award-winning retro range. With the range now available in purple, you can be proud to show off your kettle, toaster and microwave and do the cooking in style. Who knew you could get good-looking pots and pans? Don't forget, you can get 20% off as well from Swan's gorgeous products if you head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
And look at you. Yeah, I mean, you've got this amazing thing with the theatre school. You're doing incredible things. You've got your own radio show and you sound amazing. The best music, the 90s, hello. You've got two beautiful children, a gorgeous husband. You're smashing it.
I still think I'm going to get a Gotcha Oscar at radio. I still think somebody's going to come out from the BBC. But yeah, no, I think because I let go, and I think that is the important thing, I kind of stopped leaning towards things and just let go and went, do you know what? I'm in a garage. I've got my kids. I'm eating popcorn. I'm laughing at this film. Life couldn't be better, actually. And so then when you get to there, then wherever you go from there, you've still always got that, I think, which is really important, which is really, really important. And I, you know, it is great. The theatre school I set up in 3 days, it was just on a whim. I was just like, oh, should I try and do this? And then it just exploded. But that is so nice to just talk to kids in an honest way and say to them, look, it's all right to make mistakes. It's actually really healthy and it'll make you stronger and it'll make you trust yourself and all those things, which I don't think nowadays they get told. I think certainly at senior school they get told they've got to be perfect and they can't fail, and that's a disaster.
It must be amazing, though, for you to, you know, use your skills and watch all these kids at the school. What's the age group at the theatre school?
It is 4 to 18, and by the time they're 10, they're all taller than me. So that's a shame.
Gosh, you got your hands full there, haven't you? You really have got your hands full. Do you think your kids, will Phoenix and Indiana take part, or do they?
Phoenix won't, because he is going to be an engineer. He is only interested in architecture and the Titanic, and he knows how to build bridges, and he watches documentaries all the time. Indiana is a bit feral, so I'm sure he'll be in the entertainment business because he's wild.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because I was emailing you, wasn't I? I was emailing Sarah just to double check dates and things, and she'd been really poorly. Your husband had been away, and you'd done something daft, like 78 hours of working, fallen asleep, and your kids were looking after you. And I said to Chris, God, I wouldn't be able to stand up working like that now, all those hours. You're just juggling everything, aren't you?
I am, yeah. But we did summer school. We did summer school, and so not all the kids can afford to do something. So basically, at this our school, because I am soft, we give away about £1,500 worth of free lessons a month, which I know is but I don't want kids to lose out because their parents can't afford it. And so I just let them come in. So we did summer school, and not all the kids can afford summer school. So I just thought, well, I'm not going to cut the classes as well, because that's not fair. So I just ended up working every day from like 8 in the morning, because some of them wanted to get there early because they just wanted to, until 10 at night every day. And then on Saturdays I did that. And then I came and did radio, and I was literally, the kids hardly stand. But I did it because... it is rewarding. Like, you see that they're happy, and that's nice. Mm. Nice for me. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
So it's selfish in a way.
And you're always sort of picked up, aren't you? There's always snaps of you in various magazines and newspapers. I mean, you are well fit. You've got an amazing sort of shape. What do you do for it, as well as a working, knackered mum? Let's face it, we all are.
Well, I eat sweets and drink Diet Coke and... done.
I like this.
And that's it. And I'm just having a wrangle with my little boy's school at the moment, because they say he's got to take in healthy snacks. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He can eat what he wants. And I don't think you should dictate what children eat. And I certainly don't think you should restrict them, because that makes them obsessed about things. So I'm having a wrangle with his school at the moment, going, don't tell him what to eat and what he can't eat. And I had an eating disorder. So I'm like, hang on, don't be telling people what they can eat and can't eat. That's ridiculous. Hold back a minute. If I want to give him Haribo and a flapjack for his dinner, that's what he'll have. But basically my diet is what I can grab while still dancing around. Even when I do the radio show, I don't sit down. Like, I dance the whole time.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about eating disorders. I mean, it's, you know, everyone, it's great that, you know, everyone opens up and they talk about it more than they used to. And it's a huge, huge issue now, especially after COVID and lockdown, in all generations. Obviously, social media does not help. So again, with your theatre school, is that something that, you know, you feel like you're watching over and you're very conscious of?
Yeah, and I'm really open with them. I'm really, really open with them about food and the way that they look and what I have suffered. And you know, even at the theatre school, like, we have a tuck shop and they can have healthy stuff. We've got all the other stuff as well. I think what's really dangerous with children, and my husband will agree with this, so when I was a kid I was allowed to eat whatever I wanted, and now, even though I did have an eating disorder, now if I've got a chocolate biscuit I'll eat just one chocolate biscuit, and then when I'm full, I'll stop, because I've never kind of stopped myself, or certainly as a child, I was never stopped having crisps, chocolate or sweets, so I don't have a thing about it. My husband, he was only allowed treats, as they were called, on a Friday, and that was it. And he still, if he's got a chocolate bar, even if he is full up to the brim and feeling sick, he will eat the whole thing. And so that, I think that's why I think restricting children, and that's what I learned when I was kind of in eating disorder clinics, is restricting yourself as human beings. If we tell ourselves when we can't have something, we immediately want it. That's all we want.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I read something about your plate. You know, when you say to them, you're not leaving this table till your plate's clean. And it's a while ago now, I was reading this, and the person writing it said it's the wrong thing to say to a child, because you're just teaching them that they have to eat absolutely everything in front of them. So just let them have whatever. We went on a Disney cruise recently, and the amount of mums I heard say that to their kids, you're not leaving this table until you've cleaned your plate. There's so much food on those cruises as well. It's daft. I mean, I won't do that with my kids, you know. Yeah. They have a little bit of cereal. They might have a bit of toast. They maybe have a muffin, you know, and fruit. And I just let them do the same at dinner. So they sort of pick their way through, if you like. They know when they're full. You can't expect someone to sit there and just eat everything if they don't feel like it. I mean, I think, how would we all feel if someone said that to us, you know?
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Yeah. I quite often don't finish all my food. And if I had someone telling me you can't get off, I know what I'd do with it. Yeah.
Also,
I like this. It's quite refreshing, this.
But when you're full, you're full. So one of the things that I was taught was, you know, your stomach is the size of your fist. So you can't fit that much in it anyway. And once you're full, you're full. And you should listen to that. Otherwise, you start overriding it. I mean, my kids, I don't care. Like, I'll let them have, if they want a Kinder Egg for breakfast, I let them. But what's really interesting is often they don't want that because they're allowed. So they're just like, oh, no, Mum, I want toast, or actually can I have a pancake, or I'm okay, or I want strawberries. They don't, there's no mystery around it, because they know they could just have it. But I have to, so I went into the eating disorder clinic with bulimia, and they did really good work with me there. They were amazing. And I left when I was 24. And from 24 to 47, my weight literally hasn't changed, just from eating whatever I want, but right, to my body. And that's basically what I do. Obviously, when I was pregnant, I put on a stone with both pregnancies. But even with that, I did exactly the same thing. I ate when I was hungry. I ate what I wanted. I stopped when I was full. I didn't count calories. I never count calories. I just listened to my body.
Do you think there's a massive pressure on women, particularly in your industry, TV and presenting? You know, have you had to look a certain way? It seems to be getting younger and younger. So do you see this at your theatre school? You know, do they look up at the Kardashians and women like that?
Yeah, I do see it with the girl influencers and stuff, because obviously they have Instagram and everyone's photoshops their bodies, and they have it with their faces as well. I think in our industry, it's actually men now that get picked on. I think people don't dare say to women, you've got to lose weight or you need to do this. I think with men, I know certainly with my husband, he's been told, oh, you know, your arms need to be bigger, or you need to get fitter, or you're looking a bit dad, which you wouldn't get away with
right
at all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. So it's moved on. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But with the girls at the school, the boys are all okay, but they're young boys and they're thinking about, well, they're boys, so they just think about what's in front of them. Whereas with the girls, I have had the conversation with them about, I worked with an editor, and I remember he told me that he was doing a Lancome advert with a very, very famous and very beautiful young lady. And he told me that they photoshopped every single frame of that advert. So if a chin or a nose or the shadow was a bit strange, and we're talking a beautiful girl. And I do tell the kids that story from the industry, because I think it's really important that they know that, because they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And they go, but she's beautiful. And I said, I know. But you see how what you see is not what you see most of the time. So I'm just really honest with the kids at the school, like really honest.
I think that's a lovely foundation for them as well. And, you know, for you to do that, as well as, you know, do the stuff that goes on in a theatre school, like all the, you know, the showbiz bit and the singing, the dancing and the bright lights, that is probably just as valuable. And what a wonderful thing for you to do. And coming from the experience you've had, you know, the life lessons you've had, and you should, you should have to take pride in that, honestly. Pat on the back for Sarah Jane.
Thank you, please. Thank you for my hero.
Defo.
I said, Jenny Pat, you are my absolute hero. you're a similar age to me, but you were on TV before me, and I remember seeing you and thinking, I want to be her. I just want to be her, but I want to look like you as well, and I don't. But just because you're just so lovely, lovely, and you're my hero. So thank you.
Thank you. That's really lovely to say. It's really weird because something like my youngest, she always goes, you know, because you walk down the street and someone says something or whatever, and she goes, were you really famous once? So I'm going, shut up. I said, you know, I'm current. I'm just current. I'm here. Don't worry about it. She said, well, I keep looking you up, Mum, and it's this and there's that and there's this. And then, you used to work with a puppet once that was a sheep? And I was like, yes, what's wrong with that? I started to have to justify it and sort of like try and beg my children to realise, you know, that, you know, I had a bit of a presence out there. But anyway, it's funny.
Oh, God, such a big presence. We still get excited in this house when we watch Top of the Pops and Jen's on. And I'll message her and say, that gold jacket you have on Top of the Pops, bloody love it, you know. You're a massive icon, Jenny, and you still are. I mean, yeah, she is. When I met her, she said to me, the key is, I can't think of the word. What was it? Oh, missed it in my head.
Can't remember
we were talking and you said it's about changing, it's about evolving. That's the secret. You do that in your career and evolve, and you've done that in your career where so many people don't. They can't.
We've got a famous, well, he's not famous, but he's a good director staying at our house at the moment. And I said I was doing this with you, and he went, oh my God, she's gorgeous.
Is he?
And I was like, come and say no. And he was like, I'm not going to embarrass myself. No, I don't want to say no. I'm not going to embarrass myself. And this is like a really solid, very serious, very direct. Everybody loves you.
Oh, bless him.
Now
it's all right. Tell him he's made my day. Tell him that. Yeah, from me. What were you going to say, Kelly? This better be good.
I was going to say, she's as lovely on the inside as she is on the outside. And I mean that as well. You genuinely are beautiful. Well, you know, Chris came home from work and said, Sarah Jane would love to be on your podcast, you know. And I said, oh, fab. And he said, yep, she loves Jenny. So I know she'll say yes if I pass her email on.
I
have my uses. I have my uses. So no, but I'm great. I'm glad that I inspired you. And funnily enough, I think Gail Porter also got a bits out. She went into TV presenting because of she saw me presenting on the TV as well. There's quite a few people when I look back, and they'll all say, oh, I went into TV because of you. And I'm like, oh, so it's quite nice because everybody that I've met, including you, Sarah Jane, you know, they've contributed so hugely, you know, for especially on children's TV, et cetera. And then also now for young people and what you're doing. So yeah, pat on the back for me as well.
Yes, you're like a magical fairy.
And what's next, Sarah? What's next on the cards for you? Because you have your theatre school, you've got the radio show, everything's going really well. Is there anything on that sort of list that you still want to do? Or just like you were saying, you're really happy where you are now and that's enough?
I think there's always part of me, because I am very driven anyway, there's always part of me that's going, what should I do next? So I try and shut that part of myself down, because I do want to spend time with my kids and stuff. I did a film not long ago, which was great. It was for a friend of mine. I do have an agent now, but I don't really actively look for any work because I kind of have lost that passion a little bit. It's really sad to say, but I have lost that passion a little bit. I would quite like to, well, first of all, I do deal a lot with children's mental health at the school, a lot, more than anything, actually, more than the drama and the singing and the, that's kind of, it's become, it was supposed to be, I never wanted it to be kind of like a stagey balls musical theatre school. I wanted it to be real, but now it's more of a vehicle to help the kids get confident I've found, and it is more a journey of mental health with them. So I'd kind of like to do something more with that. And I have started talking to the Lincoln University and a friend of mine who's got a charity for kids' mental health and also families of children who suffer from mental health, because obviously their siblings, the parents often are quite abused by kids that are stuck in this kind of labyrinth of sadness usually. And so I'd quite like to do something like that. And also at the moment I would like to expand the theatre school and get a premises. And there's part of me that would like to set up kind of in Lincoln a kind of Sylvia Young school. So because I think, well, I tell you, can't you shut down? And I think the thing about, because I'm Northern, so the thing about for Northern kids is they have to go to London to do that, to do that sort of thing. Mm. And London's not the ideal place to send your kids, actually, where they go and see the gigs and get the train. And so I think it would be nice to be able to set something like that up here in Lincoln, so that if kids are sending their, or if parents are sending their kids from Manchester or from Leeds or something, they're not going all the way to London and they're closer. Yeah. So that's kind of a dream, but that is...
I think that's a brilliant idea. Yeah, that's amazing. I went to Italia Conti, and you know what? The one thing was that thing about London and getting into London. I always used to think, gosh, what, even to this day, being up north in Manchester now, you know, I talk to lots of people, lots of parents say, oh yeah, she, you know, she really is interested in stage and theatre, but, you know, unless she goes to London, it's always, unless I have to get them to London. And it's as in, it can't really, you know, practically be an option. And I think that would be a wonderful thing, Sarah, I'd really do. I think you should go for that, defo.
I've been looking, I've got the kids an agent, but she's a nice agent that, I'm like, you can't damage these kids. So if they don't pull it out of the bag for you, they're kids, so tough, and you just have to do that. And she's great. But yeah, I just, there's part of me that feels like it would be nice to have something for Northern kids, for us Northern kids. But yeah, I am not very good at admin, which is why I give so much away for free to help the kids. I'm not very good at admin, and I'm not very good at like being businesslike. Do you know what I mean? I'm not very good at being businesslike in a meeting. I'd have to meet with councils and stuff, and I talk about my rabbit's noses and stuff like that.
I bet they love it. They love it. You could talk about your rabbit's noses as much as you like, as much as Denise Welsh talks about vibrators for me. Don't you worry. And I'd love you to come back and tell us about that day when you opened. Well, we'd like the invite for the opening of the Sarah J. Yeah, the Honeywell School of Theatre and the Arts. And looking after your mind first and foremost, and your mental health. It'd be wonderful.
Aww.
So you've got a thumbs up from us here on the Hot Mess Mums Club.
Hooray.
And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool chick.
Thanks for having me.
One cool chick, that's you. Thank you.
So nice to meet you. And you as well, of course, Kelly. But it's so nice to meet you, Jenny Powell.
Yes, always. Always.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan, designed for life.
Thanks to Swan for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to check out their beautiful purple retro range and give your kitchen a makeover this autumn. To see more of Swan's products, head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20 for 20% off.